Welcome to the Open Line, your window to the stories behind the stories, inside the news through discussion and discovery on 560 CFOS.
Good morning. Welcome to the Open Line. Still Claire McCormack here with you. And today in studio with me are Nick Oldreeve and Matthew Knopper from PleaseBringMeHome.com. Names you may recognize. They have been looking for Lisa Moss, who has been missing for a few decades. Also helping out with Nyrum, finding Nyrum Scholdice, or finding out what happened to Nyrum Scholdice in Northern Bruce Peninsula. A couple of other people they have been looking for who we have talked about, and we are going to talk about not necessarily new cases, but new being talked about. People who have gone missing from this area. Of course, if you have anything you would like to share with them or questions, 519-376-7777, or you can call toll-free at 1-800-265-3757. We'll be right back with more Open Line on AM 560 CFOS.
The story behind the story. Back to the Open Line on 560 CFOS.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Open Line. Today we are talking with Please Bring Me Home. So there's Nick Oldreeve and Matthew Knopper, and they look for people who have been missing for quite some time, occasionally people who have been missing for not so long. There have been a few recent cases that you guys have helped out with. Welcome back to the studio.
Yes, thanks for having us again.
So today we should talk about, right off the bat, what's new, what you want to talk about most, and then we can get into some of the other cases that you're looking into, taking tips on, and how the whole thing works. But what's the newest thing going on today?
So there's a lot of things that have been happening. We're planning to do some stuff for Lisa Moss in the summer that we're going to, in the spring that we can talk about. But first and foremost, we've taken on two cases that are cold cases that we haven't had under Please Bring Me Home before, and that is Christina Rhodes slash Collins from Hanover, and Sean and Leslie Jones from Cape Croker, Lion's Head area. Christina Rhodes went missing in 1991. We believe she was last seen October 18th, 1991, traveling on foot from Southampton to Hanover. We know that, as much as we know the weather was not warm that day, not cold that day, but likely would have had some type of overcoat clothing on when she was traveling on foot. So we're looking for anyone that may have seen Christina Rhodes after October 18th or on October 18th. We know that the OPP are looking into Christina's case very seriously now. I can't speak to what investigations they are doing. I just know that they are looking at everything with her case.
And I asked them, you know, why, where did it come from? And they said, basically all they said that we're willing to say is that it was a request from Hanover Police Chief Chris Knoll. And where his interest in it came from after however many years, since 1991, wasn't necessarily clear. But this is something that you've mentioned in the past.
Yes. So how it happened, it's actually a very unique story. When Christina, 2 months before Christina went missing, she gave birth to a little girl. And when that little girl was 2 months old, she was put up for, she was put in the care of Children's Aid Society. And was at that point put up for adoption and successfully adopted. 27 years later, that 2-month-old little girl approached us asking if we could help find her mother. She had heard some stories over the years that maybe she was a missing person. So we started to look into it and started to ask some questions about it. And we found out shortly that she was hasn't been seen since October 1991, and it kind of floored us. At that point, we contacted Hanover Police. We spoke with Chris Knoll, and it was kind of a very peculiar story. So I know that both myself and Chris Knoll were kind of like, what next? So at that point, they contacted the OPP. He did believe that the OPP should be looking at this because it's such a unique case. And that's what happened, and we're very happy that the OPP is taking a very close look at this case now.
And this, the same OPP, I guess, investigative unit, is looking at some of the other cases that you're also looking at. Lisa Moss and I think Nyrum Scholdeis. Yep, Nyrum Scholdeis. Same people are looking at that as well. So now you mentioned, so she just disappeared. Did nobody report her missing back in 1991? What happened?
That I can't speak too much to. I believe that they... I believe that someone did attempt to report her missing. However, Christina was an avid hitchhiker. She would go away for short periods of time, and I don't think it was really believed by anybody early on that there was something seriously wrong. So, and like I said, I can't speak to too much past that because I really don't know.
Is there a picture or a description of her, or what might stand out in people's, something that might stand out to people about her? 1991 isn't that long ago.
We have nothing. We have, Please Bring Me Home has personally reached out to high school, Children's Aid Society, police, hospital, family members, ex-friends, ex-boyfriends, just to see if anyone have a picture of her, and nobody has a picture of her.
Consider that this is 1991, so this is only 3 years after Lisa and Lois. This is only 3 years after Lisa and Lois went missing, right? So two young ladies go missing in Graham Bruce. 3 years later, this other lady goes missing, and not only is she missing, like, she's missing from public knowledge. Nobody knows about her. There's lots of, and rightfully so, there's lots of media attention and police attention around Lisa and Lois, as there should be. But what about Christina Rhodes?
Yeah.
Like, she just disappeared literally and from public knowledge. We can't even find a picture of her. It's a very strange story.
Now, I will say that the OPP has told us that they have obtained a photo of Christina, and that is because it is in police custody, they have to go through the right channels to release that. So they are going to be releasing that. They realize that that's important to release to the public. It's just they have to go through the appropriate channels to do so. So
I guess we can wait on that.
Yeah.
It seems like, and I'm sure you guys have asked yourselves this as well, but most people have friends. You know, mm-hmm. She didn't reach out and try to contact anyone that you know of. I mean, maybe there's a friend out there, an old best friend or something that wondered what happened or tried to get in contact with her or anything. You know, it just seems it's you would think a person wouldn't be able to just disappear without something.
You would think.
I think that from the individuals we spoke with that were around Christina before she went missing, they all kind of are saying the same thing, that they did realize something was maybe wrong. The police were definitely aware of Christina's case because they did attend a place where Christina used to live in April of 1992 to try and retrieve some DNA information from the house so that they could have on file. So I know that they have been aware of it. I can't speak to what has been done on her case. So
any theories about, you know, what may or may not have happened, or things that people, you know, might, direction she might have gone in or anything like that?
Well, she right now, our working theory is that she was hitchhiking from Southampton to Hanover. She openly stated that from the residence she left from in Southampton. She said, you know, I'm going to be hitchhiking back. So she was likely thumbing on the side of the road. Our working theory is that maybe somebody picked her up. And maybe they did drop her off where she requested to be dropped off. But that information has not come forward. So anyone who may have picked her up, anybody who was traveling down there, I know it is so hard because it's 1991. We're talking 27 years ago now. The likelihood that someone's going to remember seeing somebody hitchhiking 27 years ago is slim to none. However, if somebody did pick her up and drop her off, that might be remembered. Mm-hmm. So
it seems like it was maybe a little less common to hitchhike in the 90s than it was, say, in the 60s, right? There would have been maybe fewer hitchhikers. I don't know any stats, but just seemed like that was more popular, you know, 30 years beforehand. And
she didn't have her license. Her hitchhiking was one of her main sources of transportation.
Yeah, hitchhiking was still popular in the 80s. I may have done it once or twice and had friends who did it too. So it was very popular. And and certainly not making a correlation to this case and any serial killers. But if you look at there are a lot of serial killers who are active in the 80s who would prey on hitchhikers in the 70s and 80s. So certainly making no correlation here, just making a correlation that people did hitchhike regularly in the 80s. You know, people would go out west. I knew people who would hitchhike out west in the 80s and 90s. So
one of Christina's friends who we spoke with actually just yesterday had told us she hitchhiked out west. Like so, it was very common. She would she hitchhiked with Christina before. Like it was very common.
Hmm. So I mean, she could be anywhere between here and Vancouver Island
anywhere. We don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it was a choice of her own. You know, her child just got apprehended at that time by CAS. Was this a choice of her own to take off, or did something else happen? When you speak to her friends and her foster family, she would have reached out. She wanted that child. She wasn't going to give up on that child. And so it's very... Yeah. We just don't understand quite yet what could have happened.
It's a similar narrative to Lisa Moss, because in the early days of Lisa Moss, and early years of Lisa Moss, there was speculation that she had taken off. Right? She had just gone out west. There were cases where people said they'd seen her out west, in BC. Obviously, that wasn't the case, and she hadn't taken off. But that was an early narrative of Lisa Moss, was that she'd hitchhiked, she'd abandoned her life, and she decided to move away
and raise this baby. And
yeah, so maybe that's what people thought about Christina Rose too, and maybe it's not true.
It's interesting how, I mean, what you guys go on or you know, hope to glean information from is what people say. But that right there may be an example of how misleading some information can be. Mm-hmm. You know, even and they talk about that in things like if someone describes a car as, I don't know, yellow, and the police go looking for a yellow car when in fact it's not, you know, it sends you off in a totally different direction for a while. So it's kind of amazing how different accounts of things can really...
Well, if you look at the Paul Bonato case, they had the description of that car wrong early on. They were looking for a Camaro, and it wasn't one. So for the first number of months, the description the police had of that vehicle was completely wrong. So yeah, even the finest detail, the devil's in the details, and the finest detail, if you get that wrong, it can take an investigation the wrong way for weeks and months.
Mm-hmm. Me and Matt and myself differ on opinion a lot of the time, and that's good. I would rather that, because it forces us to have an open mind for situations like that when they happen. If I go to Matt and say, listen, we got a thing in, it's a yellow car, we got to go look for this, you know, yellow car, she was last seen here, whatever, then Matt's response to me would be, well, we don't know if it's a yellow car. So it's able to kind of bring us back and chill us out a bit and actually look at things objectively and just have an open mind.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a great team to be and to have, the looking at it that way. Now we should take a break, and then when we come back, talk about some other, there's another case that you are starting to work on more and talk about more, so we'll get to that. Of course, if any of our listeners have questions, give us a call, 519-376-7777, or toll free at 1-800-265-3757. We'll be right back with the Open Line on AM 560 CFOS.
The story behind the story. Back to the Open Line on 560 CFOS.
Morning. Welcome back to the Open Line. Today in studio with me are Nick Oldreeve and Matthew Knopper from PleaseBringMeHome.com. It is a website where people can leave tips about missing persons cold cases. I mean, is it considered a cold case if it's real? You know, this one that we're talking about right now, Christina Rhodes, has been reopened.
I mean, a cold case to us is, it can be anywhere from a month, 2 months to 40 years. Because a cold case, in my opinion, is where, you know, the public becomes aware that maybe police are stuck and they don't really have anything new to go on. And no one, you know, Nyram's case is a perfect example. It hasn't been that long since Nyram Scholdice was found. And we believe that police did not know where to go next, because there were three different opinions on what may have happened to Nyram. And that's why it was important to us to then reach out to the public, maybe share some details and see what came back. And now we have the Bruce OPP, South Bruce OPP, looking more into and accepting more information on Nyerm's case. And I don't think they want to accept the belief that Nyerm may have put himself there.
Right. We should talk about this. Now, we have a caller waiting in line, but we should talk a bit about Nyerm's case, just for anybody who doesn't know what happened. And this was 2 years ago yesterday, basically.
Yeah.
Yesterday was 2 years since he was reported missing. Last seen was March 5th, right? On the Bruce Peninsula in Ferndale?
Yeah, March 5th or March 6th, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that area, yeah.
So what's a brief outline of what we know?
We believe that Nyerm was last seen in Ferndale, like the OPP had stated. He was found not near his house, not near really anyone's house that he knew. It was in the opposite direction. It was in the middle of a wooded area. And from what I understand, he was not found with his coat, boots, hat, mitts, phone or wallet, which are things that if Nyerm went on an adventure and he got turned around and lost, it was cold and hypothermia played a factor. Okay, but where is this stuff? We're not indicating that he walked there in sock feet. So
no, and you look at a person's lifestyle, right? You talk to the family, you get some details around these people, and this isn't something he would have done. He wasn't a hiker. He's not like an avid hiker who hiked the Bruce Trail, you know, all the time. It just, that just wasn't him. So for him to be in this location for his family is something is wrong with that.
Yeah, and this is so Nyerm Scholdi, some people might remember as you were driving through Spring Mount, just west of it, basically, there was a billboard with his picture on it. You know, there were posters around. They put out a lot of information trying to get some, you know, something back from anybody in the community about what happened to him. So you're taking tips on that online, or what can people do with that?
We're kind of at a point right now where since the OPP has launched this yesterday that they want to retrieve information, we're looking for cold case missing persons. We're very happy that we were able to reach out to the public and something seemed to have been done about that. And we feel that because this case, if we're leaning down the road of potential foul play, which I don't know, then I believe that all information, if you have any information on Nyerm's case, you need to go to the OPP or through Crime Stoppers. That is out of the realm of what we're comfortable with. We will listen to anybody, though. That doesn't say don't contact us, but we're going to try to help you get in touch with the OPP. That's going to be our goal when you come to us about Nyerm's case.
Right. So, and also there's a Facebook page called What Happened to Nyerm Scholdi, that is also out there. And that's just type that in. That's what it's called. So now we have a couple people on the line. We'll go to Lois first. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning. I just want to make a comment. It's not safe now to hitchhike alone.
Yeah,
we would completely agree. It wasn't safe in the 80s, and it's not safe now.
Well, in 1962, I was up for a job, and I had no way of getting there. It was the daytime, and I got there.
Through
safe
hitchhiking.
Safe and sound.
Right.
But awesome. I would not attempt it now.
No, great. No. That's good. Wise words.
Good advice. Yep.
Thanks for that, Lois.
Okay.
Now, I think that's, that is something that some people who don't have the means to go from point A to point B still sometimes do, yeah, and are sometimes victimized while en route to wherever it is that they are going.
Well, now Big Brother's always watching too, right? Like, there's cameras. Typically, if you're going down a main road, there's a camera that'll catch you kind of walking and stuff. So back then, there may not have been, but now there's a lot of people pay more attention now, yeah, I think, than back then as well.
Yeah.
So if you see someone hitchhiking, you may kind of just put that in the back of your mind, and if you hear something over the following few days, you might remember it. So
yeah, and lots of people have cell phones now.
Yeah.
You know, so even people who are hitchhiking have cell phones so that they can track locations that way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And dash cams. And
dash cams, yeah.
All kinds of things. So it definitely is harder to leave no trace, I suppose. Next, we have Pamela on the line. Good morning, Pamela.
Hello.
What's on your mind today?
I was the foster sister to Christina Rhodes.
Yes, hi. We were speaking yesterday, fam. How are you?
I'm still in shock that finally something is being done about my foster sister.
That's so, Pamela, is there anything that you would like people to know about Christina that might help?
She was the life of everything. She loved everything. It's hard to describe how Chris was. Like, we were the best of buds. And when she went missing, we all were wondering why nothing was done. Like, yes, she used to hitchhike, but back in the 90s and the 80s, it wasn't as bad as it is now with people going missing and anything like that. It was normal. Like, we were teenagers.
Thank you, Pam, for calling in. It's nice to have people calling in that knew Christina for sure. So, I know that it's been a tough situation. Pam has opened up plenty about Christina and who she was, and I'm grateful for that. We can get some insight into who she was. So,
and thanks for your call, Pam, and hopefully the reopening of the investigation and this renewed effort to find out what happened to your foster sister Christina can bring you some answers.
Well, it's not just me; it's also our foster mother Wendy that's been worried about her. Every time I talk to her, we always bring up the fact: like, have you heard from her? Have you found her? I've looked on social media with the different names that she used to use. Like, it's just everything. Like, I've never stopped looking for my foster sister, and I know my foster mother hasn't either. And her daughter looks just like her. It's uncanny. Like, I was looking at pictures of her daughter, and I was like, oh my God, she dresses like her, she acts like her, she sounds like her.
We were able to introduce Christina's daughter and Pam yesterday, introduced them to each other because they've never met, and it was a emotional moment for both of them, and it was an amazing moment that very few times throughout when we look at any of these cases do you have moments like that, and it was a special moment. So
I can imagine. Now, Pamela, you mentioned putting things out on social media. Is there any place or page or anything like that if people think, oh, maybe they knew Christina, maybe they saw her, that they could go to?
No. Like, we don't have any pictures of her. Like, I asked my foster mother continuously. I know she used to have pictures of her, but they all went missing. And I've described the pictures, and my foster mother goes, yeah, we had that picture, but it went missing. So we don't know if Chris took them or what happened to them, but she had a couple pictures of me and Chris together with another foster child that was with Wendy at the time. We had a school picture of her from Saugeen District Secondary School in Port Elgin that it was taken the exact same time when I was in grade 8, and like just different things that went missing, and we knew we had them. Like, I know she loved Depeche Mode. She loved John Lennon. Like, she was born on the anniversary of John Lennon's death. Like, everything. Like, she was upset, but at the same time proud that she had a birthday the same day as John Lennon. She loved the Rolling Stones. She loved music. She loved poetry. She used to write all the time. Like, it's just different things. And I look all the time for her since I live in Niagara now. And I live by the border, so I always constantly look when I'm down in Niagara Falls to see if I can find her walking around down by the falls. And it's just, I never stop looking for my sister.
I can't imagine what that must be like to always be looking for someone. Hopefully our listeners here in Grey Bruce will have heard you know, what you've had to say, and will think of you and think of the rest of your family, Christina's family, and think back and hopefully look for her as well. I want to thank you very much for calling, Pamela. I know we have Wendy next on the line.
Thanks, Pam.
Thank you.
Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Nick?
Good. Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm just calling in support of Chris, Christine Rose. She lived with us for about a year and a half. And I just want to say that she'll always have a special place in our hearts. We miss her great humor. We miss her being around. And I want to thank all you people who are trying to find all these missing people. I think it's just wonderful.
Thank you very much for that, Wendy. Wendy was Christina's foster mother, along with Pam, who we just spoke with. So,
yeah.
Thank you for calling, Wendy. And I think it's something that's great and can only help to hear, you know, for our listeners to hear support from the family, from your family, you know, in looking for Christina and asking questions, you know, to say this is something that people want to know about and are willing to talk about. And that's a huge thing to get a conversation going and get people thinking and looking. Thank you very much for that, Wendy. We do have to go to a break, but when we come back, we have a couple other people on the line. And of course, if you would like to call in, the phone number 519-376-7777, or you can call toll free at 1-800-265-3757. You're listening to The Open Line on AM 560 CFOS.
The story behind the story. Back to The Open Line on 560 CFOS.
Welcome back to The Open Line. Today in studio with me are Nick Oldreeve and Matthew Knopper from PleaseBringMeHome.com. Before the break, we were talking about renewed effort and a new OPP effort to reopen the case on Christina Rhodes, who went missing, was last seen, I guess, October 18th, 1991, walking from Southampton to Hanover. And we just heard from her foster family on the line. And on the break, we were talking about it's great to hear from the family. I think one of the things that when people go missing or someone dies, the people around them might be reluctant to talk about it. They don't want to pry. They don't want to push. They don't want to upset. It means something to hear that her daughter is looking for her. Her foster family wants to talk about it. You know, they want to find out if she is still around or what happened to her. And hopefully the community will, you know, come forward and support them in that if they know anything.
Yeah, invariably, the families usually do want to talk. I mean, you look at the Lois case, Lisa case, it was the families who were pushing it forward, you know, with the OPP. Families want to find their lost ones, their loved ones, and if they don't, then that's a concern, because my dad went missing and I certainly wanted to find him. So the people who you know, by talking about these cases, it'll refresh people's memories, and the people who, perhaps if foul play is involved in any of these cases, those are the people who we want to make feel uncomfortable. Right, those are the people who a lot of this effort is aimed at, is people who know something, saw something, have heard something, or did something. Right, those are the people that we want to come forward and talk and feel safe, that it'll be confidential. And if they were involved in something, then they should feel uncomfortable, because if months and years and decades go by and no one's talking about it, then they feel very comfortable that nothing's ever going to be done. They feel very safe, and they probably won't talk about it. But when people get uncomfortable, and there's a lot of chatter about this, they may inadvertently say something, or they already have. More than likely, if any of these cases we're looking at and it's foul play, what are the likelihood in 30 years somebody didn't say something? Very unlikely. Somebody said something to somebody, and if somebody hears this and they finally have a change of heart and they finally want to come forward and talk, whether it's about Christina Rhodes or Lisa Moss or Lois Hanna or whoever, now's the time.
So in terms of if people do want to talk now, for in the case of Christina Rhodes or Christina Collins, as we've said early at the beginning of the show, where do they give this information to? What can they do?
Same as all the other cases, you know, our first and foremost, we believe you should be given the information to the OPP. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel comfortable with that, then go through Crime Stoppers. And if you still don't feel comfortable with that, come and send an anonymous tip through PleaseBringMeHome.com. Christina Rhodes' case is not up there yet, but it will be. But right now, you can just go to the site and click Submit Anonymous Tip. It'll come directly to myself and Matt, and we can have a conversation with you. For any of the cases, we will do that. So,
So we shouldn't keep Catherine waiting on the line anymore. So we'll go to her. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. It's sunny.
It is. Yes, it was a beautiful morning watching the sun come up from our newsroom.
Right. I want to ask about Nyrum.
Yes.
I would like to know if you have ever inquired from his friends that he associated with at times, and I don't know them, if you have ever contacted them and asked them about him and what they may have been doing, or if they know what he had been doing, because there has been a thought out there, and I don't know if it's true or not, about maybe having a drug on hand. So that's what I would like to know, if you have contacted them and talked with them.
So we have not, and it's only because we know that the OPP have. By us now reaching out and asking, we feel that it would cause some anxiety to those people who maybe the OPP are trying to work with. If we reached out to them and tried to ask them, they may get apprehensive to ever communicate with anybody again about the case. And we need to keep that communication open between people who might know something in the OPP, and we would just get in the way of that, we feel.
Thanks for that question, Catherine. And that's a great explanation that kind of helps people. You know, maybe they're wondering something similar. Who knows? Next, we have Gord on the line. Good morning, Gord.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Morning.
What's on your mind today?
Back in the 70s, I was a provincial policeman.
Okay.
And there was a case, there was Lisa Moss' case, but there was also a case about a lady that lived in Kincardine.
Lois Hanna?
Oh, that's her name,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Have you done anything about Lois Hanna's case?
Yes. yeah, we've been looking into the Lois Hanna case for over a year now. It's on our website. We've spoken to the family, to her brother Dave, and Kim.
Yeah, and Jim.
Jim. Yeah, and we've gotten a lot of tips over the past year in terms of Lois. So it's something that we're actively looking at, still talking to people. Actually, just a few weeks ago, we were talking to a couple of people about Lisa, and the lady actually knew Lois. So we run into people all the time who knew Lisa, knew Lois, and may be able to share more details, you know, of their life around that time. Because the devil's in the details, right? What were they doing around that time? They went missing. Who were they seeing? Who were they talking to? Where were they last seen? So, yeah, Lois Hanna is a case that is on the top of our minds at all times.
Thanks for that, Gord. And that's something Gord brings up, a good question, two good questions, really. Some of the other cases that you're working on, we should talk about, because there are a number of you can submit tips about these people, these cases, on their website, pleasebringmehome.com. But you look at this, there are a number of women who have gone missing from this area in kind of the same amount of, you know, span of years. It doesn't seem, I mean, does that seem common? I mean, it doesn't, I don't know.
No, to have, you know, looking at probably four or five young women who went missing in Graham Bruce. You're looking at five women who went missing in Graham Bruce from between 88 to 92, 93, roughly, starting with Lois and then Lisa and then moving forward. One of those cases has been solved, but to have that many women going missing, in a relatively rural area where a lot of crime, you don't usually see the same kind of crime levels as you would in a metropolitan area like Toronto. So now we're not making any correlation between any of those missing women at all.
In fact, we believe that they're all separate. All five of those cases, as crazy as it sounds that you have such a weird... Yeah. You know, five women within 5 or 6 years going missing from Graham Bruce County. To take into account how big Graham Bruce County is, it's not just this small hole in the wall. It is a big area. And we have looked, even if we're not, even if they're not on our site, we have looked at those ones a little bit from the outside in, and we do believe that none of those cases are connected. Mm-hmm. None of those five women.
So that's something, I guess, people can keep in mind when they're, you know, thinking about what they may have seen or might know or might have heard. Now, you do have another case that you are you want to talk about today.
Yeah, Sean and Leslie Jones. This is also an important one to us. So we're going to be adding Christina Rhodes' case and Sean and Leslie Jones' case to our site. Sean and Leslie Jones are two people. They are two males, cousins. They went missing from in between Cape Croker and Lion's Head in 1993. I believe it was 1993. They were heading to a school dance. A vehicle was crashed that they were believed to have been driving. They were seen, I believe, within 3 days after that by the police, and they ran from the police. And then I believe that was the last time they were seen. There's been some speculation, you know, one might be up in Winnipeg on a reserve. We don't believe that that is the case. It has been 25 years or 26 years now. And the realization that they have not reached out to family or anything in that time suggests some concern. So you can submit a tip to us, same way you would for Christina. Just go on pleasebringmehome.com, submit a tip. If you are not going to talk to the police or Crime Stoppers, those need to be your first two avenues to go through. Mm-hmm. It's if you don't want to do that, then we can take in that information. We'll look at everything seriously, and you will be kept anonymous. So,
when you think about Leslie and Sean Jones, you know, maybe people might at first think, okay, well, they had a car, you know, a collision, and wanted to get away from the police, but that doesn't make you stay away for 25 years. Yeah. Like, no. In no one's imagination could any punishment be so bad that you wouldn't talk to your family for 25 years. So, I mean, whether even, you know, it doesn't seem to me, if I were to guess, that that would have any bearing on why they didn't.
I think, I mean, just from looking at this for a short period of time, kind of the working theory is the vehicle that they crashed was Sean's mother's car. Sorry, Sean's grandmother's car, I believe, that her mother was driving at the time. They did take it without the mother or grandmother's permission. They crashed it, believe it was on the way to the dance, and then they took off. So they definitely did something wrong. So I think they were initially running from the police because they did something wrong. But then, like you said, 25 years. Like, how do you not reach back to your family in 25 years? That's just
it's a very long time to have no contact with family and or friends.
Yeah, we have been beginning to reach out to friends that they knew, because that's where we like to start, of course, with the family, and then we move on to who were around them the most back then. We do have some names of people we want to speak with. And we started that process just about, not because we think they did anything, but you would have heard more rumors than I have for sure, about what may have happened to them, where they went, what kind of stuff are they into, who do they like to go visit away from this area, situations like that. So,
well, it's also interesting about all these people that we now live in a time where, you know, if they are in Winnipeg, there's probably somebody would have said something to someone on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, there's no sign of these people, it seems, digitally around. That's obvious anyway.
And that's the bigger picture. Really, if we were to just strip it down to the bigger picture, the likelihood that there will, 30 years from now, be a cold case from somebody going missing now is highly unlikely. So is there not something we can do to play catch-up for all of these cold case missing persons? Likely. I know that the OPP and the police have to remain with the goal intact to charge somebody. That's the goal. Of course they want to find people, but they can't do that without essentially destroying a case to convict somebody for a crime. So is there not something we can do to assist them? And that's exactly what Please Bring Me Home is trying to do. Can we not try to bring these people home? Can that be the first goal right now? And then if somebody's convicted for that by the OPP, great. But that's not what we're trying to do. We just want to bring them home genuinely.
And so, this is something that you have you've helped out with in the past and been successful with in the past, in the case of helping to find Terry Shope, in Owen Sound, and Nolan Pentish, who was from Southampton. And so, I mean, this sort of thing, these tips, they work. The effort that you put in, it can help,
Yeah, and we're not just a website, right? We don't just sit behind a desk and take tips, right? We actually were out in the field talking to people, interviewing people. We take great pride in the fact that we've had some difficult conversations with some people, and we may have been kicked out of a house or two because we've been asking some challenging, difficult questions that perhaps people don't want to answer. That is a fact. We need to stay safe, of course, so that's the top of our mind too. But these conversations need to be had, and of course they're confidential. We would never mention anyone's names, and that's the key thing too, is that when people meet with us, and we've had people reach out that want to meet with us, and we've reached out to people too, and these conversations that we've had and are continuing to have, they're all confidential, and we respect that privacy.
And for anyone that's doubting that, we've been doing this for 3 years now. If we were hearing your conversations and burning you and sharing it with people, you would have heard about it by now. It's been 3 years. So anyone who's sitting back thinking, I don't believe them, they're sharing my information to whoever, it's just not true. It's false. So if that's your reasoning for not coming forward, it's a bogus reason. So
We have not gone to the press. We have not spoken here and mentioned any names, and we never would.
We should take one more break, and when we come back, we'll talk about you guys actively looking, because you have done some actual physical looking, a lot of it, in fact. And if anyone has a question or comment, just a few minutes left, the phone number 519-376-7777 or toll-free at 1-800-265-3757. We'll be right back with more Open Line on AM 560 CFOS.
The story behind the story. Back to the Open Line on 560 CFOS.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Open Line. About 10 minutes left of our show today. In studio with me are Nick Oldreeve and Matthew Knopper from PleaseBringMeHome.com. They look for people who have been missing for years, generally. Cold cases is what they work on. They are not police officers. They're civilians. They have their own day jobs that have nothing to do with the work, this work that they're doing. But before the break, we were talking about, you go out and you have conversations with people, you're looking for people. But one of the other things you've been in the news with over the past year and a few years now is Lisa Moss and the physical search for her remains.
Yeah, we have dug in several locations over the past 2 years, one in Owen Sound, and then one in rural Grey County, and we've done several digs at those locations, looking for Lisa, and it's based on information we've gotten, tying Lisa potentially to that location, or tips we've received in, and we're very thankful for the people who have come forward. We've spoken, Nick and I have spoken to, could be upwards of 100 people for Lisa Moss.
Oh, easily over 100.
Over 100, yeah. A lot of people, a lot of interviews in person, over the phone, sharing information, and we're very thankful for all of that. We do have a new location of interest, which we will be investigating this spring, if this winter ever ends. Every day I look out the window and say, please melt snow. Yeah. Actually, one of the people who knew Lisa, who I talked to a few years ago, she said the same thing. She said as soon as it snows, she gets depressed because she knows people aren't looking for Lisa, because you can't dig, you can't see things in the snow. Like, she always, as soon as the snow flies, she knows it's going to be another 6 months.
And now you turn that around and you think, how must those people be feeling who know where she is? Well, they feel a bit more comfortable in the winter. And that's when we reach out to them, because they know, on the opposite spectrum, they're not going to look for her because it's winter. But in the opposite, is that's when we get some of our best information, is over the winter, because people become more comfortable and they don't see us doing digs every couple of weeks.
So we during the colder months, we spend more time building relationships with people who knew Lisa or potentially know information. We believe, and this is just us, Nick and I believe, so I just want to clarify that. It's just us. We believe there are people out there who know what happened. Not just one person. There are several. That's our belief.
Whether they were there or yes. whether they were told this by yes. the individual or individuals who put Lisa where she yes. is, we believe it's definitely more than one individual. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we have been building these relationships for 3 years. And we continue to, and we've received over the past few months some significant information, which is leading us to a location in Annan, in the Annan area. It's an area that has been looked at before by the police back in '88 and early on in the investigation. It's an area at this location that hasn't been looked at before, so that's key. And it's specific details that we've gotten. I can say very confidently that in 3 years of looking into Lisa, this is the most specific details we've ever gotten. So never any guarantees, of course. She may not be there. We're certainly not saying she's at this location. Mm. We will not know until we take the ground penetrating radar there in May and then dig after that. But you know, people are talking and information is coming forward. Which is really good news, and that's what we want to do, is we want to get to people talking. Somebody knows something about all of these cases, including Christina Rhodes. Somebody knows something.
If our record shows anything, we might not find her there, but we're not yeah. going anywhere. Like, we're still going to put in the effort. I mean, we've been down in the dumps before, and we haven't been able to find her, and mm-hmm. it's just... It almost kind of, someone said this one thing once, it's not that we get discouraged, it's just that we get like a very controlled rage where we know what we have to do next when we yeah. don't find her. It's like you just kind of are really pissed off, but I don't know if I can say it, but you know that we're really irritated and we just yeah. control our yeah. rage and know where to put it. So, yeah.
It's, well, and I mean, there's some incentive for people to help find Lisa Moss. There's a reward.
Yes. So that's a conversation that myself and Matt have been having. The reward has to lead to the arrest and conviction of the person responsible, which I do agree that is important. We all agree that's yep. important. Yep. If somebody was murdered, then yes. But should we be having a conversation? Is that a big ask for an individual? What if mm-hmm. that $50,000 reward was for
her location,
just for the location of this person?
Yeah.
Would we have more success that way? So that's a conversation that needs mm-hmm. to be had with whoever makes those decisions. So mm-hmm.
right. Well, and I mean that's one thing, I guess, if that's might impel somebody to go and give you a tip. The other thing, just to what you said before about being frustrated, one of the things that you have said to me before in interviews is that you are disproving things at the same time. So even if you don't find some, you know, Lisa Moss there, you know, she's not in that specific location as well, yeah, which is something.
It kind of does, has some positive aspects to it when we do that, because if we, like, let's take the Owen Sound property, for example, we dug up pretty well that entire lot, where we were looking for. We had all the experts there that we knew could try to help us, locate her or disprove it. And one, if we dig there and she's not there, she's not there. We feel that we've disproven that. And if somebody comes forward and says, I know for a fact she's there, then we can maybe look at that individual closer as to why are you wanting us to look there when I can tell you she ain't there. So that's not to say she could be around that property, but she's not on that specific property. So.
Right. Well, I think that's pretty much all of the time that we have for today. So I don't know if you want to leave us with a final thought. I mean, you've got Leslie and Sean Jones and Christina Rhodes. You're both going to be looking into those cases, and mm-hmm. people can leave tips with your website, pleasebringmehome.com.
Yes. Come forward, please. Mm-hmm. If it was your family member, mm-hmm. you would want a group like ours. If it was your family member, just come forward, do the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned people have a hard time waiting through the winter. Imagine waiting 27 years
yeah. Can't imagine.
Or more.
Somebody yeah. knows something. Say something.
So maybe they can help out. Thank you very much for coming back in today. You will be able to find this podcast on our webpage. Just go to News On Air, click on Podcasts. The Open Line will be front and center, and then previous shows are available going back several months. Tomorrow, Steve Ritchie has The Open Line, and on Monday, Martin Murray, Detachment Commander of Grey and Bruce Peninsula OPP, will be in. First time he's been in the Open Line studio, so get your questions ready for him. That's a huge amount of our area that he covers. That's all the time we have. You're listening to AM560 CFOS.